Luke chapter 17, very familiar passage. Let's just jump into this. And I like to remind us, though, the sequence of the scriptures, the sequence of what Jesus does is very purposeful. And remember, the crux of the message last week was when he gives some really difficult things that we're supposed to just forgive people, and if they just say, "I repent," we forgive them. And they said, "Increase our faith," and he talks about that. But I remember what I tried to stress last week was the way we show our trust in the Lord is through obedience. It's through obedience, and I believe Jesus is now going to use this particular true account. It doesn't seem like it's a parable. It seems like it's a true account of 10 lepers. And verse 11, Luke 17. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Verse 14. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Title of the message this morning: what kind of leper are you? We have two kinds of lepers in here this morning. You're like, what? You're a saved leper or you're a lost leper. And so leprosy, right, throughout history, it's less today, though leprosy still does exist in various parts of the world, but there are, by God's grace, pharmaceuticals that can treat leprosy. It was one of the most dreaded diseases of human history because it was a slow death. Appendages of your body would rot and fall off. You lost a feeling in your different feet and fingers, and your nose could fall off, and your fingers would rot and fall off, and you could put your hand in a fire and you might not feel it because your nerve endings had already been killed, and it was just dreaded. I don't know if there's a disease like that. We responded to COVID like it was leprosy. So that's probably the most fresh thing, right? And so whatever your thought is about it, and I'm not worried about it, but, you know, I mean, it shut down nations. We responded like, ah! Right? Like, the worst thing that can happen is you get COVID, right? And we didn't know, and so I'm not saying the initial response and all of that. It's like, trust me, I was like, I don't know. You know, I mean, people said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Pray." I said, "I don't know what to do," and we kept having church services, not because I was trying to be a rebel. And lo and behold, 75% of our folks didn't show up. So I said, "We have plenty of room spread out." I kind of didn't think that 6-foot thing made sense anyway, but anyway. But we were kind of meeting the needs of the 6 feet and all that. But we responded to COVID like it's the worst thing. Let me tell you, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is you die in your sins. When you see that in the Bible, and Jesus said it twice in John 8, I believe it is, and he said, "You shall die in your sins." There's no worse state to die. If you die in your sins, you leave God no choice, but he must judge you in your sins. That's the worst state to die in. You will either die in your sins or you will die in Christ. And so that's the reality. So I'm going to give you my hypothesis. I can't 100% prove that this is the case, but I believe the 9 that didn't come back to thank Jesus were lost. I believe the 1 that did, I believe when Jesus says, I'll give you my end, so then when I get to the end, you guys will be like, is he almost done? When I get to the end where he says this, verse 19, and he said unto him, unto the one that came back, the Samaritan, he said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, he was already healed of his leprosy, but I think what Jesus was doing, that man was saved. And the most important thing for you is not what disease. There's probably somebody in here, cancer is raging through your body, and it might be me. And that would be kind of the last thing I want to hear. You know, I've told the Lord, I've asked him, I've said, Lord, I want to die in my sleep. But I didn't give him this caveat, I need to add this, without being ravaged with cancer. You know, so, but I, you know, and I tell the Lord, but if cancer rages through my body, then I then have the opportunity to glorify him through difficulty. I will tell you, in my life, I don't know about your life, but the high points of my life would be the low points that most people would look at. It's when I had physical difficulties, physical issues, and then God has showed me how he is going to use it for his honor and his glory. And so the most difficult times are usually my best times after I can look back and see it from a 20/20 perspective. Let me tell you, this leper, the one that came back, I'll get to meet him. If you're saved, you will too. And so let's just learn from this. So I give you this. What kind of leper are you? Are you one of the nine? Because here's the reality. I'll talk about this. It is probably nearly every one of us in this room, and maybe some of us didn't do this, but some of us probably did this. You made a deal with the Lord. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. I wouldn't suggest doing that. But we all seem to kind of just want so much from God, and then when it happens, we forget to go back and thank him, and we carry on, and then we just live life as though God hadn't really been good to us. I do love this. You know why people will give me their attention many times? Trouble, problems. That's good. I'm not criticizing that. That's probably God dealing with you and saying this. You got some problems. You can't figure it out, and you've lived long enough to realize this life stinks. There must be some other purpose for life. And the Bible tells us that, and the purpose is God. Let's look at these 10 lepers. What kind of leper are you? First, I want you to look at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And so, if you know, there's three provinces in Israel. The most northern one is Galilee, the middle one is Samaria, and the southern one is Judea. Not perfectly lined up like I'm showing you, but it's that way. And so Jesus grew up in Galilee and Nazareth, and for you, the Sea of Galilee would be here, the Jordan River connecting the Dead Sea. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. He spent a lot of time in Capernaum, and we've been going through that in Sunday school on the Sea of Galilee, one of my favorite cities that I visited in Israel. If you go to Israel, Capernaum is probably, you've got to spend some time there. It's so much happened there. I wish the next time I go, I'm going to do so much work and have it all down, and I want to envision it all. I want to envision it all. And so Jesus grew up in Nazareth in Galilee. Samaria was the middle province, and then the southern province was Judea. Jerusalem, the capital city's there. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Jesus spent a lot of time in Jerusalem because that were the feasts and the ceremonies and where most of the religious leaders were that he would preach to. He would preach to all people, but he particularly preached to them as well. And so it's interesting. Some of you know the history of Samaria. We've had prejudice throughout the years and throughout the century, throughout the millennia. The devil wants to divide and conquer, right? That's why I love Revelation 5 that we then sing about, from every people, every tongue, every nation, every tribe. I want you to know this. Why are the different colors of people? Because God likes variety. All right, that's it. Okay, it's not too complicated, right? And we're going to have different colors of people in heaven. I believe that we'll have our perfect bodies for those that are saved, but I think if God liked variety here, he'll love it in heaven. I tell people all the time, aren't you glad all roses aren't red, right? He loves variety, and that's why we have variety. Cabbage Patch Kids were big when I grew up, And so, you know, the big thing about Cabbage Patch Kids, no dolls the same. I don't know what they did. You know, they said they had Bruce at the end of the line. Bruce, do something to the doll. Poking it. I don't know, but no doll was the same. It wasn't just mass-produced. Well, what Cabbage Patch dolls, they were trying to represent what God does. No person, even identical twins, are exactly the same. Very similar. But God loves variety. And so when Jesus, he said this in verse 11, he said, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Understand this. The Jews hated the Samaritans so badly, and the Samaritans hated the Jews, that they would go around Samaria, and Jesus went through the middle of it. And then what's interesting is 10 lepers, 9 were Jews, and 1 was a Samaritan. And so I want to just go through some characteristics of lost people that might make you feel like you're a Christian. But I'm sorry, the 9 weren't. The first thing I want you to see is lost with togetherness. It doesn't seem like these lepers cared who was a Jew and who was a Samaritan. It doesn't look like they cared. Tragedy does bring us together, and it's a good thing. We have a hurricane, and our country might rally around people, which I think we should. Tornadoes, our country rallies around them. Tragedy, our country rallies around them. But I want you to understand this. That's because we're created in the image of God, and we ought to do those things. But just because you're helpful to people, just because you don't have prejudice, which would be great if you don't. All prejudice is sin, it's evil, and it's wickedness. And so we must cough it out, spit it out, and realize this. No, you know, God created every single person in this room. And so God says to love everybody. And so they were lost with togetherness. And so when you begin to see these characteristics of these lost lepers, all 10 were lost when they were crying out to Jesus. I'm convinced of that. And so lost with togetherness. And so I want you to know this as well. If you're lost today, the world loves you. You'll get along with the world well. I had a relative years ago that told me this, and I think she's since been saved, and so I've got to be super careful how I word this, but she said, you know what I think is so interesting? She said, I like my friends down at the University of Cincinnati way better than I like my church friends. If you're saying that in your heart, that might be a red flag for you. It doesn't, saying that doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but it does identify something. Who do you love being with? Do you love being with God's people, or you love being with the people of the world? Because you're just more comfortable with the people of the world. Now, oh Christian, we ought to be a warm people, a loving people. We ought to be a people that just make people feel welcome. We ought to make people feel loved. But I want you to understand this. We should be different. But I want to ask you this. Who do you love being around? Well, the 10 lepers, because they had nobody else, and there was quarantining rules, and it was a good thing, but it turned into not only were they quarantined from a physical perspective, but they were quarantined from society, and that was the evil of it. That was the sin of it. They said, get away, out of sight, out of mind, forget about them. Not good. Lost with togetherness. Second thing I want you to see, lost and compliant. Look at verse 12. And as he, Jesus, entered to a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now you say, what do you mean they followed the rules? Well, they stood afar off. In the book of Leviticus, it commands them that they must stay a certain distance away because this was such a contagious disease. And these men, they followed through with that. You know, we saw in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, he touched the leper, which was just a shocking thing, right? He didn't touch these guys. He just told them what to do. He didn't say, draw near, by the text at least. And he said, you know, go to the priest. But they stood afar off. They were lost and compliant. I want you to know, here's my worry. How many people do we have sitting in Baptist churches, sitting in Hope Baptist Church, that you're lost, but you're compliant, and you'll just go along with whatever we say? That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Your life might be easier if you're compliant and you kind of just follow the rules and you do what people expect. And I want to tell you, though, that's not going to get you to heaven. You see, my great concern, I examine my own life. I want to examine, why do I do what I do? Am I doing what I do because that's what I'm supposed to do? Am I doing what I do because that's what I've done for 50 years? Or am I doing what I do because I truly love Christ? Every single one of us, why do we do what we do? Is it just because that's what I'm supposed to do? Or do you really love Christ? You can be lost and compliant. You can follow the rules, and you can be a good little boy, a good little girl, a fine young man, a fine young woman, a fine old man, a fine old woman. But I want to tell you this, that's not going to get you to heaven. You're still a leper that needs healing spiritually. Understand that? That's the issue. Oh, we can feel good because I'm compliant. You know, lost people can look at some Christians and go, I am better than that person. What they're saying is, I follow the rules better. Now, that person that says they're Christian might not be, but I'll tell you this, at times in my life, if people watched me too close, Stephen, they would be justified not trusting in Christ. That's a horrible thing. I just want you to be careful that you don't go to hell because you're watching somebody else and you're not listening to the Bible. You're not listening to God's Word, right? You can find so-called Christians, and maybe they are Christians, just not doing what's right, and that you follow the rules better. If it's by following the rules, then maybe you'll get there, but it's not. The requirement for heaven is perfection. Not one person in this room can be perfect. You understand that? When the apostles asked Jesus, who then can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible. You can never make yourself perfect. It is only by the perfect righteousness of Christ that's imputed into your soul when you trust in Christ and He removes your sin. I rest in that. But then I do become an ambassador. I do become a representative. And so Jesus says, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But I want you to understand this. It breaks my heart to think how many people in our midst are just good Baptists going to hell. Compliant Baptists going to hell. I want you to sincerely ask yourself in your heart, do you truly love Jesus? Do you want to honor Him at all times? And I know the frustrating thing is when you say yes, you go, well, I've had a terrible week. But in your heart of hearts, and is there any evidence that says, I do love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm battling this flesh. I'm battling this world. But I want to do what's right. Is that you? Or are you just saying, I'm a good person. I'm compliant. I'm way better than most people that go to church. If that's ringing through your heart, red flag, doesn't mean you're lost, but it might be. I want you to see this. They were lost and together. They were lost and compliant, and they were lost and spiritual. Wow. These guys knew they were in trouble. I'm convinced in verse 13, if you'll see it, I did put verse 13 there. So look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They had enough spiritual thought to cry out to God. Because Jesus is God. Make sure you understand that. He's the ever-existing, never-beginning, always has been God. I state it that way because, you know, my Jehovah's Witness Mormon friends, they say that Jesus is eternal. They don't mean the same thing that the Bible does. Jesus has no beginning, has no end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the ever-existing God. Know that. But they cried out to Him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, it is interesting. I've had this conversation. So He asked for mercy. You know what they really should have asked for? Grace. But you know why they asked for mercy? This is super cool, I think. This is why. I'm giving you my perspective. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Do you know what they taught back in the first century? Man, if you're eaten up with leprosy, what did you do? Because you deserve it. No, not necessarily. It could be a consequence of 150 generations of sin. But I want to tell you this. They said, have mercy on us. Because they accepted it. They said, we must have done something to deserve this. No, you know what we have to understand? All bad things are a result of sin. God is not out there. I always wanted a little eye contact there, William. That's good. I know. You're nervous, right? Twice, man. That's good. Three times. All right, that's good. I love eye contact. Oh, look at Antonio. Not a staring contest, all right? You're making this a little weird, but it is. It's good. It's good. I love eye contact. It's good, right? God's not the zapping God, but boy, that's the way he's represented even today, back then. And they said, oh, you got leprosy. What did you do? Let me tell you, we best be careful. Don't try to figure out why you have issues or why somebody else has issues. Sometimes it's a direct result of my sin. When I see patriotic lights behind me. All right, some of you got that right. It's not because I'm a patriot. It's because I was going too fast. And my friendly policeman is just wanting to notify me of that and collect a few $100. But it's not God striking at me. It's because it's a consequence of my sin. That was a direct consequence of my sin. I want you to understand this. There's so much that's, you know, hereditary. We must understand that. But they cried out and they said, have mercy on us. Because it was so in the culture that said, these 10 guys, worse than all of us. I want to tell you this. Every single person in this room, we deserve eternal damnation. We deserve separation from God. And those of us that are saved, you had better never forget that. It ought to make us so grateful. We ought to be falling at the feet of Jesus. We ought to be so thankful that we'll go running back and tell everybody how good God is. But they were lost and spiritual. They cried out to God. People tell me all the time, I go, well, do you know what God requires for heaven? They go, well, I just had it this past week. Had a brand new Bible study. Thrilled about it. Person says, I'm saved. And I said, well, what would you tell somebody is necessary for heaven? And they go, ask for forgiveness. I waited. And I said, well, that'll get you straight to hell. You need forgiveness. But you see, I gave the illustration. Maybe it's been a while. I can't remember. You know, one of the beautiful things about being a preacher, when you have early stages of dementia, you can just preach it with passion as though I haven't said it before. I gave him this illustration. And I said, well, what happens if I stole your car? And I was gone 3 months, and they finally caught up to me, and it was trashed. And then I stand before the judge, and the judge says, Steve, do you have anything to say? Got the little mic here. You know, we were good. Yes, Judge. Yes, Judge. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I sure appreciate that. Would you forgive me? And the judge goes, who told you? Hot diggity dog. You got the right words. Case dismissed. Next case. And I looked at him. I said, did justice occur? And she said, not at all. And I said, what good is it for you to ask God for forgiveness? How did justice occur? You see, the only way you can be saved is you must turn, change of mind. It's a mindset. Change of mind. You must turn in faith to Christ, and you're putting your hope, your trust in his work, not yours. And it's not magic words, would you forgive me? Oh, yes, you need forgiveness, but it only happens when you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You understand that? We're not preaching magic words here today. We're saying this. With the old heart that says, I'm done. I'm going to turn from the old ways. I'm not holding on to anything. I'm going to turn. That's repentance. I'm going to turn in faith to Christ because he is the true God, and he is the one that took my punishment, was buried, and rose again. He's the only hope I have. You understand that? You can be spiritual. You can be religious, and you can be religious enough just to send you to hell. That's what's terrifying to me as a pastor. You all have relatives. You all have friends that say, don't worry about me. I'm good with Jesus. And there's zero evidence in their life that they love Jesus. You keep loving them, get them in the Bible. Get them in the Bible. But see, I'm preaching to you today. Do you know for sure that you're not one of the nine? Lost and spiritual. I want to tell you this. I'm going to take you to this passage. Lost and obedient. Lost and obedient. And so, here's what they did. Listen to this. Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were lost and obedient. You could say it's very similar to compliant, but they did what Jesus said. Go show yourself to the priest. Now, the reason they had to go show themselves to the priest is because they wouldn't be allowed back into society until they had the approval by the priest that would inspect them. Very detailed, very meticulous, because this was such a feared disease, and God gave clear instructions, and it was all a picture of sin, and there'll be evidence that sin has been removed, and all those pictures. But they would have to go to a priest before they were allowed back into mainstream society. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it's amazing. They went as they were full of leprosy, and on the way, shoink. I love it. Who was it that said, and I never thought about this before, someone said this, that if he heals you from leprosy and your nose had fallen off, did you get a new nose? That was a great thought for me. Who said that recently? Oh, Ron said that? That's right. I would hope that I'd get a better one, you know. It'd be like, because when this one fell off, you'd be like, oh, I killed him. And then, you know, maybe get one back that might be a little less obtrusive. But it would, so I don't know if that's the case, but I know this, they had no leprosy. When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they did it. I tell people all the time, I did bus ministry in that for many years of my life. And what we used to do was crazy. I probably told you what, you know, this is how I was taught. I would get arrested today. They said, hey, Steve, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. They said, go buy a big bag of candy. And they said, just walk down the street. You see a kid, you go, hey, go get your friends. Hey, go get your friends. And you start throwing candy out. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I would go talk to their parents. Hey, how you doing? You know, I'd go get candy. We started a new bus route. I did that. I was like, hey, you got any friends? Got some more candy? Where that comes from? Go get them. Hey, you got some friends? We had 40 kids the first Sunday. So, you know, it's not the way to do it. So, I mean, I had parents, they would, some of them be like, you're bribing my kids. And they taught us this too. This is crazy. They said, they're going to tell you that you're bribing them. To bribe is to entice to do evil. Ask them to go get a dictionary. And I said, do you have a dictionary? I had people go get their dictionary. I said, let's look up the word bribe, to entice to do evil. I said, I am not encouraging your kids to do anything evil. If we're successful, your kids will honor you better. Every parent that would be like mad, they'd be like, well, that's good. And I'd say, and we'd like you to come as well. No, we just send our kids to church, because tricks is for kids and church is for kids, but not for us. Right? I don't know what commercials they use for tricks. Do they still say tricks are for kids? No, it's 40-year-old commercial. I haven't seen commercial in a long time. But it's this. I want to tell you this. William, I expect your life to be better because you come to church. You're going to learn some things that'll help you be a young man that'll be able to survive in this world a little bit better. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. If you lie less, your life will be better. If you honor your parents, your life will be better. But that's not what gets you to heaven. These guys did what Jesus said. Now, it does match the message before, because remember this? How do you demonstrate trust in Jesus? Obey. They were healed because they did what he said. You'll be blessed if you do what God says, but that is not salvation. Unless you turn and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. You understand that? And so, lost together, lost compliant, lost and spiritual, lost and obedient. And I don't have time, so I was going to take you to this passage, but I'm going to skip that passage for time. I want to show you this, repentant and thankful. Look at verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And so I love this. The turning back, I'm going to suggest, the turning back is a picture of repentance. He turned back. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus particularly loved saying that the one that came back was a Samaritan, because he loved rubbing the fur the wrong way, because he was just like this. And oh, you thought the Samaritans were just the worst people in the world. And he was just reminding them, I love everybody. And so the Samaritan turned back and gave thanks to Jesus. I want you to understand this. It's one of the greatest evidences that you're saved is the service of praise, is the service of proclamation. Look what it says this, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I want to ask you this. You say that you're a Christian. How are you glorifying God with your lips? How are you lifting up Christ with your lips? Now, I want to tell you, that doesn't mean you're saved, but do you have a desire to glorify God, to tell people? Let me tell you, I don't know everything about the Bible, but I know this. There is a God that loves you. There is a God that loved me. There is a God that loved me so much he sent his son to die for me. Let me tell you about him. Do you glorify God? Or if you never speak of Christ, you're just like the nine. Every good thing is from God. Everybody in this room, you've experienced good, and that's from God. Good does not normally happen. God has to intervene. God left us to ourselves, only bad would happen. Good things happen in your life? God. Good things happen in your life? I went blank on your name. Jeremy and Keyshawn. Sorry, Keyshawn. Keyshawn, good things happen in your life? God. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That's how good God is. Good things happen in your life, William? Yeah, you got the best pastor you could ever have. God. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Good things happen in our life, right? Good things happen in our life. It's God. But how do you respond to that? Make a deal with God? I wouldn't. When good happens, how do you respond? You go back and worship him? I wonder if the other nine lepers were like, yeah, it's about time. I can't believe that he struck me with this leprosy. You know, they could be bitter about that, right? He healed me now. You know how long I've had this leprosy? I'll never believe in a God that would let me have leprosy. I don't know what their thoughts were. Jesus was amazed that only one came back. It is, listen to this, I love this commentator. He said, external religious exercises are easy enough and common enough. A lot of religions are just based on following the rules. Bow down 5 times, pray toward Mecca. God's an idiot, he'll fall for it. That's what we think. Just a few Hail Marys. God's dumb, he'll fall for that. Then go fornicate. A couple Hail Marys is worth the fornication. He's so dumb. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's the problem. We'd rather follow. Oh, you. What do I got to do? Oh, just do this. Oh, easy enough. No, what God says is, I own you. Everything about you. And so some of you, I do know this. Some of you, you sit there lost week after week, and I'm thrilled that you're here. You keep coming. I love that you're here. But I know this. For some of you, the reason why you won't is because you don't want to surrender your life. You like your life. You don't want to go to hell, so you're just kind of curious. You're hanging in there, and we're thrilled you're here. I mean that. We're thrilled you're here. But I'll tell you this. You cannot hold on to your life and be saved. You have to let go, repent, change your mind. It's a whole mindset that says, I will turn in faith to Christ, and I am his. Some of you go, I just don't want to go to hell. Then you'll maybe never be saved. You have to want Christ and turn in faith to him. And I'll tell you, the other nine didn't want Christ. They just wanted a healed body. This other person said, whoa. It's amazing. None of the other nine followed. you'd think they would have at least some conscience that says, well, we probably ought to go back and thank him as well. They didn't. The Bible says, give thanks in all things. I had more to talk about that, but repentant and thankful. And then the final thought is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you this, Matthew Henry, a renowned commentator, I don't agree with him on everything, but he wrote in his diary, I thought it was just cool, see if I can remember this, he wrote in his diary, he got robbed. How many of you heard Matthew Henry's response to getting robbed? He got robbed, and he said, he wrote in his diaries, thank you God, here's what he thanked him for, that I had never been robbed before. Thank you God, though they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Thank you God, because thankfully there wasn't very much in my wallet. Thank you God, that I was the one being robbed and not the robber. I'm not Matthew Henry. Don't look at my diary. What in the world? You know, so it's. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Boy, Matthew Henry was exercising that, right? What about us? Thankfulness to God will return us to God, will put us at his feet in complete faith and trust in him. And I tell you, I finish with this. This man bowed in submission in saving faith. Here's why I believe it's saving faith. It's based on Jesus' words in verse 19. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He already had been healed physically. I'm convinced it's his faith in Jesus that made him whole spiritually and eternally. I want you to understand this. I use this word a lot. Submission. Submission. If we are going to honor God, we must get this principle called submission. This leper fell down, humbled himself, submitted unto God, and just said, thank you. And he submitted to Jesus. Some of us, we refuse to submit, and that may be the very reason we go to hell. I beg you this morning, saved and lost, our issue is submission. You know why we sin, believer? You know why we sin, O Christian? Because we refuse to submit to God. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He tells us that. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He says, purify your hearts and cleanse your hands, you sinners, you double-minded. I want you to know this. The key to life is submission. First, have you ever truly submitted in faith to Christ? Have you said, you know what? I can't believe I've been so ungrateful. I've been so unthankful that I've never truly just wanted Christ and Christ alone, because you know what? He's given me my life. He's given me everything, and I refuse to submit. Because you know this? You know what that is? Unthankfulness. Ingratitude. You're one of the nine lepers. I beg you, ask God to humble your heart so that you would finally say, there's nothing better in my life than to surrender and submit in faith to Jesus Christ. And then, oh Christian, there's a lot of crunching that goes along in churches when we sit down, because we're a lot of crunchy Christians, right? We've gotten hardened, we've gotten calloused, and we've gotten comfortable with sin. And we will not submit. You know, my favorite Bible verse is Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. It's not. My wife so lovingly always highlights, and she says, likewise ye husbands. And let me tell you this, you want a good marriage? It's mutual submission. Oh yeah. You want to honor Christ? It's submission every day. And you'll never regret it. It's the key. The nine lepers said, nope! I just need God to give me a better life, little healing when I need it, and then I'm going to go do my thing. That's the average person that thinks they believe in God. They believe God's here for their benefit. And we Christians that come to church often, we act the same way. Let a little tragedy come into our lives, we quit. Let a little disagreement, problems with the people of God come in, I'm done, I quit. You know, it is, we must submit to God. And here's final thought. Out of trouble will come beauty. Christ died for us. Can we not die to self? 10 lepers. 9 were bad, and 1 was good. He came back, humbled himself, and said, "You're all I need."